introduce Charles when she's done reading.
Aloha, everyone. My name is Diana, and I am an addict. An Indian without a tribe. Loneliness is something I've lived with for years. From the time I was a child, people always let me know that I was different. This was fun for a while. In later years, my feeling of being different was one of the things that brought me to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I grew up in a Texas town. I was one of those kids from the other side of the tracks. I was the middle kid, the middle child with a brother 8 years older. I always wanted to be like him. So I would tag along with him and his friends. They used to get me loaded. I always got high to a point of not remembering what had happened the night before. This phase lasted about 4 years. My brother got busted and the phase ended. I came down with hepatitis and ended up in the hospital. This was the first of many institutions for me. The doctor told me to quit using drugs. He was the first to tell me that I had a drug problem. I knew he was right. I thought that everyone had a place in my life. I knew he was right. I thought that everyone had a place in life and mine was to be a drug addict. I accepted this place completely. I didn't think anyone could change it. After my bout with hepatitis, I returned to drugs. I became addicted to heroin. I was 14 years old. Heroin was the answer to all my problems. It made me feel like I could finally fit in. No longer did I feel different. All are equal in addiction. I was kicked out of my house and I swore never to return. For the next 3 years, I ran the streets, traveling all over the country, looking for that place where things would be different. I got busted for possession, so I joined the army to beat the case. This was going to solve all my problems. I was shipped to Vietnam where I really got further down in my addiction. Not long after I arrived in Vietnam, I was arrested again. This time they sent me to a hospital in Germany for drug abusers. I really liked it there. There were plenty of drugs available and they were really cheap. Mistakenly, I thought the hospital had cured me. Soon after I got out of the hospital, I was discharged from the military for failure to rehabilitate. I was sent home with a drug habit. The drugs on the streets weren't strong enough for me, so I ended up on a methadone program. This was cleaning up, I thought. Not long after I got home, I was arrested again. This time I went to prison. That was in the latter part of 1974. I became institutionalized very quickly. I was released from prison in 1977, right before Thanksgiving. I remember how frightened I was of all people. A part of me wanted to be back in prison. I got high to cover up those feelings. Before I knew it, there I was again, addicted. I had a job and was working steadily, but my life wasn't working. I was still drug dependent. This was the beginning of the end. The start of my recovery. I was in a state of hopeless desperation. I just wanted to lay down and die. I looked for a methadone program, but none were available. My boss asked me the next day what was wrong with me. Before I knew it, I was telling him the truth. I said I was a drug addict. He asked me if I wanted help. I told him yes. This was the first of many spiritual awakenings. I went to a hospital in Louisiana and from there to a halfway house. This is where I found Narcotics Anonymous. NA was the tribe I never had. I found the same type of people that I had run with on the streets. There was something different about them. They had a peace that I wanted. The first 6 months of my recovery were hard. I couldn't talk without making everything rhyme. I had no control over this, so I just stayed frustrated. My head would jerk at the oddest times. My arms would fly up without my permission. Through all of these problems, the people of the fellowship kept telling me to come back. I did. I was told to get a sponsor, attend a lot of meetings, get phone numbers, and get involved. I tried to do all these things. I was introduced to the steps and traditions. I got involved early in my clean time. I picked up ashtrays, made coffee, and did everything I was asked to do. I gained some self-respect from these actions. Before, I had thought I was worthless. The people in the meetings loved me and guided me back to reality. I can't see why I wanted to stay in the book. Sorry, guys. There's something blocking my view. Through working the steps and gaining a knowledge of the traditions, recovery became exciting. My old problem patterns of behavior started to leave me. I didn't react to things in the same ways I had in the past. I first got involved in service work during my second month in NA. This involvement has formed the backbone of my program. It gave me a feeling that I had something to give. I have had the good fortune to be involved with a lot of people all over the country who are doing the same thing I am, staying clean. I found that this program works like my addiction did. It gives me all I need to keep from getting sick. When I was using, sometimes I would get a little extra. Now the same is true in the program. I get the little extra with every spiritual experience, and my service work brings me one spiritual experience after another. This is what keeps me coming back. I go to meetings daily and talk to someone who is doing the same thing that I am, caring and sharing the NA way. This is what allows me to take a back seat and let my higher power take over the wheel. I'll always be grateful to NA for taking me from the depths of my addiction and giving me life, a life that is full of love and concern for others. These are feelings that I never thought I could be possible for me. As long as I take it easy and make a commitment with my higher power to do the best I can, I know I will be taken care of today. I've come to believe in miracles, for I am one. My name is Diana and I'm an addict. And this is the first story I ever read. When I was given a basic text, I saw the chapter and it said Indian without a tribe. And that was pretty much the way I had always felt. And then fate brought me to its author, and he is my husband. And with that, I would like to introduce Charles K.
Hi, everybody. I'm Charles, and I'm an addict. You know, when you sit and you hear your story, it's kind of surreal, because what goes through my mind is I think back when I wrote this. I had maybe around 3 years clean. I remember sitting in this hall in Santa Monica, California. We were at a literature conference, still writing the book, and they were asking people to write stories because we needed a story section in the basic text. And I remember just sitting down and writing it out longhand, and I gave it to somebody. They took it, they typed it up and corrected spelling and punctuation, and that was the end of it. And I didn't see it again, didn't think about it again, never gave it any concern. And then, you know, when the book finally got written and they did the lit conference on the stories, somehow it managed to become part of the basic text. And I know for many, many years, I would never tell people that. I remained totally anonymous because I thought that's what we needed to do. I didn't want anybody looking at me and going, oh, your story's in the book, so you must be this, that, or the other. It's like, no, I'm an addict, just like everybody else. My entire childhood and early days of my life, I was never accepted or made to feel a part of. I remember being in school as a kid and you had to check boxes. Are you Caucasian? Are you Latin? Are you Black? And then there was another box. And I was always the other guy. And then you had to explain. And it's like, you know, you go through that your entire life of having to explain, you get tired of that. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't have to explain. I walked through these doors, I said I had a problem, I needed help, and immediately people gave me help. And it was very, I couldn't understand that because it's like nobody was asking me for anything. They weren't trying to get me to buy anything. They weren't trying to get me to make a, you know, a commitment or a promise or a pledge. They were just, hey, man, we hope to see you again and please come back. And there really wasn't any time in my life where people said, please come back. It was usually just the opposite, where it's like, you know, you're causing too much trouble. There's too much drama connected to you. You just need to stay away. We don't need this heat on us. We need, you know, to be a little more low-keyed. And, you know, fast forward through the years, it's like some of those statements that I made then are still absolutely true today. I mean, you know, I go to meetings. I work steps. I'm involved in service. You know, I've learned, kind of like Bob was saying, the more you stay around here, the more you do the steps, the more you realize that the spiritual aspect of this program is the absolute program. And if you don't commit to that 100% and give it all your all, you're missing out on the most vital part of this program. You cannot use and remain abstinent. Okay? But if you want to be in recovery and you want all the promises that that basic text talks about, then you have to have a connection with a power greater than you. You have to make that decision to turn your will and life over. And continue to make that decision day after day after day. It isn't I did a third step one time and I'm done with it. It's something I do on a daily basis. The minute when I wake up, I'm having a conversation with the God of my understanding. I'm inviting him into my life and I'm asking him to guide me and show me how to live. Give me the power and strength I need to make it through another day and not use. You know, I've been clean since October the 5th, 1978. I've never relapsed. I got one white chip, and that's only through the grace of God, because that's the only perfect thing I've done since coming to this program. I've made a ton of mistakes. I've made a bunch of bad decisions. And, you know, I've had to live with them. Life on life's terms has showed up in all kind of situations. You know, I've been through a few marriages. I've got kids now. I've got grandkids now. And those are some of the blessings that I get because I stayed around here. I did what I was told, and I keep coming back and I keep sharing with the newcomer. You know, Bob said it right. It is our responsibility. And I was told that when I had maybe a year clean, that it's your responsibility. You have a responsibility to carry this message to the addict who still suffers. That's what you have to do to pay back the gift that was given to you. You have to give it back to somebody else, and you got to keep giving it to other people. You know, you do need to be the one that steps up and says, hold on a minute. That isn't how we do it here. Just because, you know, you think that that's a great idea, that might violate some traditions. And we have these in place so that we can all have a consistent and a very continuity type message from country to country, from state to state, from city to city. You know, before we started doing this, we had a hodgepodge of stuff going on out there. Before NA started taking off real big, we had Addicts Anonymous, we had this anonymous, we had that anonymous, and everybody was trying to help addicts, but they were all kind of all over the place. NA came along and said, look, we're going to give you a roadmap and a foundation where you can go out there and help people that have the disease of addiction. And when you do that, you will be able to, reach way more people than what you think you're doing. So with that, we're consistent now. When I tell you that you work the steps, you go to meetings, you apply these principles in your life on a daily basis, you turn your will and life over to the care of God as you understanding, they're saying that exact same thing all around the world. My message isn't different than anybody else's. You know, I am really grateful that I was able to get in Narcotics Anonymous when I did. I'm also very grateful that I got connected with the people that I did in the beginning and was able to be one of the people that traveled around the countryside working on the basic text. That has got to be, and is still to this day, the absolute greatest spiritual experience I've ever had. When you're sitting in a room and there's a, you know, 50, 100 people in there, and you're all asking God into your lives at that moment to make you an instrument to do His will. And then that happens. It's very hard for me to put in words. It's a feeling that just is amazing, you know? And thank God I wasn't brain dead to where when I started seeing that happen, I knew that this is something really special. This is way beyond all of us. This isn't an individual that's doing this. This is God just using me as a vehicle to get a job done and make something possible that's going to be around and be able to help others. And I can remember sitting with people and talking with them. And, you know, our dream was, you know, if we get this book written, it's going to be able to help addicts 10, 15 years from now, you know, people that, you know, haven't even been born yet are going to be, that are going to get addicted, are going to be able to read this thing and find an answer. And, you know, thank God I've lived long enough that that's happening. You know, I've been able to see my own children, a couple of them, be born into a house where there was never any drugs or alcohol, become addicts, and now get into recovery, you know, because we have something we can give somebody that says, hey, if you have a problem like we have, we can help. We got an answer for you. You know, we got steps and we got a roadmap for you to do on a daily basis that's so simple, doesn't cost you anything. All we ask is that you give it a try. And if you can do that, you can have what we have. And you know, those people never lied to me when they said that. They said, just keep coming back. You can get it too. Even when I was in those times of depression and despair where I thought, my God, my life is never going to be the same again, you know, or, oh, poor me, so-and-so broke my heart and now I'm all alone. You know, it's like those things pass. The things that don't pass are these spiritual principles. They're a foundation that I can build on and that will last my entire lifetime. There's something that I can pass on to somebody else and tell them, look, you can build your life on this and you can trust me. And then watch that miracle happen in their life. You know, it's like, today, that's my greatest gift is sponsoring people and watching them go from that confused state we all enter here in, where we think we know what's going on when we really don't know anything. And then we slowly but surely listen and find out that, you know, if I do these simple things, if I don't put anything in me, there's a good chance my life is going to get better. Then if I sit there and work these steps and apply these principles in my daily life, my life gets even better. If I do that day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, now I'm starting to get a life that's second to none. Because when I first got here, people told me that. They said, you can have a life second to none. And I'm here to tell you, I have a life second to none. And it continually becomes a life second to none year after year after year. It isn't something that I got one time and now I'm just living off of that. I'm truly one of those drug addicts that, you know, if this program didn't work and didn't continue to give me everything I needed, I wouldn't come here. Just like when I was using, if you had the good dope, I kept coming back to you. Once you quit having the good dope, I went somewhere else. Well, Narcotics Anonymous is the good dope for me. Just like I said, this is the thing that keeps me from being sick. It gives me just what I need every day to function in society and become an acceptable, responsible, productive member of society, just like we talk about in our readings. You know, I can go outside today. I can interact with regular people. They look at me and they don't say immediately, there's a heroin addict. You know, because I've changed. You know, we talk about when I got here, they used to tell you there's only one thing you have to change and that's everything. And I'm in the process of doing that. You know, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. There's been character defects and issues that I wasn't real quick to get rid of. And they caused me pain and suffering. Once I was getting rid of them, my life became happy, joyous, and free. But yet, my disease and my addiction will tell me, you really need to hang on to that. This is something vital for you. When in fact, all it is a like a poison that's just slowly killing me and making me believe that this is what I want. And you know, today, I don't want that. Today, I want, you know, peace and serenity. I want to be able to go to my meetings. I want to see the people that I see on a regular basis. I want to see my fellow home group members. I want to know that we have got an atmosphere of recovery, that a new person who's never been to Narcotics Anonymous can come in that group. And I know they're going to hear the message of Narcotics Anonymous. I know that they're going to hear that they never have to use again as long as they live. And that we're here to help them accomplish that. You know, all those hospitals and stuff that I'd been to, nobody ever told me I never had to use again. They always told me I needed to quit using heroin and do something else. At my very first NA meeting, the guy who gave me my white chip told me that I never had to use again. And that was a spiritual awakening like no other that I've ever had, because it immediately quieted that voice in my head that was saying, we need to get high. And it told me deep down in my soul that, you know, this person isn't lying to you. This is for real. And you have a chance here. Don't blow it. And, you know, I'm really so grateful and I'm really so glad that I have this opportunity to share. I want to thank you again for inviting me to do this. I think this is an absolute great format and a great thing to do. I hope that more and more of the authors will participate in this and let you share this with others around the world, because, you know, some of us are getting older. Some of us have had to deal with different things. I know, like Bob was saying, I had to deal with liver cancer when I had like 20 years clean. I was going through liver cancer. I was going through a divorce. I was going through a motorcycle wreck. And it was like, good grief, God. What's going on here? I go to meetings, I don't use, I work the steps. But what I had forgot is something that we tell you early on. It's like, whatever you put before your program, you will lose. And I'm here to tell you that's a true statement. I lost my family. I lost my job. I lost, you know, my health. Because I thought that being a workaholic and chasing a dollar and not using was the most important thing. And I ended up losing it all. I ended up being homeless with over 20 years clean, thinking, good grief, what the hell's going on here? If I knew that this was going to be happening at 20 years clean, would I still have been hanging around here? But it took that kind of like a earthquake or atomic blast in my life to really shake me out of that funk and get my attention that, you know what, dude? You need to put God first in your life. And everything else has to come after that, you know, because without him, none of this other stuff is possible. And, you know, I was never a religious person. I was never, you know, any of that, although I had gone to Catholic school and all of that. And I remember even in my using, I would read different types of religious theory and stuff like that. But it wasn't until I got to Narcotics Anonymous and they told me, you can have a God of your own understanding. You just need to figure out what it is that you want it to be. And then you have to make a commitment and believe in that. You have to have something you can believe in if everybody around you tells you that you're full of shit. And I have that today. And it's very strong. It's very sustainable for me. It gives me answers to my problems. It helps me when times are tough. It gives me strength to face hardship and things like that. And, you know, I mean, we've been through a lot together. We've been through, you know, parents dying, and we've been through our oldest daughter committing suicide a couple of years ago. And, you know, there's no way we could even be anything like we are today if it wasn't for a God of our understanding working in mine and my wife's life. Because there's nothing we can do as human beings that's going to fill that void or fill that hurt or pain and make any of that as a bearable thing. And it's like today, for the most part, it's a bearable thing. There's those moments and those times and those anniversaries and stuff like that where it's just like another dagger to the heart. But for the most part, it's something we can, you know, get through, and we can remember and we can wander and all of that and still come out the other side knowing that, you know, maybe we don't need to understand all the reasons why, because we can sure put ourselves in a tailspin trying to, you know, with the shoulda, coulda, woulda, and what if, and what about that, and how about if we had done this and done that, maybe it would be different. And you know what? We did the very best we could. We tried to get her help. We tried to introduce her to the program. We tried to take her to hospitals. And that wasn't enough, you know? And just like I'm sure you have people in your lives, it might not be a child, but, you know, that newcomer that comes around for 30 days or something, and then all of a sudden you don't see them anymore, and you ask, whatever happened to so-and-so? And they're like, oh, they OD'd. They went back out. They died, you know? This is a life and death program. Today, I choose to live. I don't choose to die on the installment plan. Today, I really feel like I've got something to give to the world. I don't feel like I'm a burden on it, that I'm a useless sack of flesh. And I felt like that most of my life before I got here. I was able to come here. I was able to get some self-respect. I was able to better myself. I was able to become somebody that people wanted to listen to, have some kind of respect for. And I'm just grateful for that. With this, I'll close. Thank you very much again for inviting me here. And I just want to tell everybody, you never, ever have to use again as long as you live. Thank you.
Thank you.